Welcome to Inside Ag from Kansas Farm Bureau, the voice of agriculture. I'm Shelby Varner. Today we're going to talk about land ownership, land values, and the trends that people are seeing with those. And today, and to talk about it, we're joined with Robin Reed, K-State Extension Farm Economist. Robin, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today.
No problem. I'm happy to be here.
Robin, to get started, let's talk a little bit about net farm income. How are you seeing net farm income drive land values?
So great question. And for those not familiar with kind of some of the economic terms, net farm income is basically the profitability in the agriculture sector. So we went through a fairly long downturn in the farm economy between 2014 and 2020, really when the pandemic started. We had a really good run-up in land values before that, but then as the income profitability dropped off, we were afraid we were going back to something similar to the 1980s where we'd see land values falling. And really that didn't happen. We went through a fairly steady period, even though net farm income didn't support land values. We really just saw them hold steady. And then at the end of 2020, we had the coronavirus food assistance payments. We had commodity prices picking up and our land market really took off. So we saw record net farm income again in 2021, supporting those land values. And so for 2021, 2022, we have just seen land values going higher and higher at rates that we haven't normally seen in the past because of a number of factors. But one of them really driving that is the farm profitability, the net farm income, and just the health of our ag economy right now.
Would you say it's a good thing that land values are going up?
It is. So what it does is it helps balance sheets. Farmers' net worth grows as their land becomes more valuable. It also does create a strain, obviously, on mostly young producers that want to get into the industry, want to purchase land, but just the investment cost is so high right now. It really takes more of those established operations that have cash reserves and really bidding aggressively on that land. And we also have some influence from non-ag investors, and I can get into that more as we talk about who owns Kansas farmland.
Before we get into talking about who's owning our land, how does this trend of land values compare with what other states' trends are?
So great question. Kansas has, you know, historically been a little lower valued crop ground and pasture versus you think about Illinois and Iowa, you hear the record 10,000, 20,000 per acre sales. But if you look at a couple different sources here from what happened last year, National Ag Statistics Service has Kansas both in pasture land and non-irrigated crop ground up about 25% over the value they had in 2021. So a 25% jump in land values is pretty large. I would argue is not sustainable for very much longer. But nevertheless, that was more than any other state in the Midwest or really across the country. When I look at the data that I have, we're looking at actual sales values that occurred across the state, not just survey results. And in that information, I actually saw about a 30% jump in land values last year over what I had them at 2021. 30% is pretty huge, as you can imagine. And even within that, I break it down by the 9 crop reporting districts in Kansas. I'm not going to rattle all that off because over radio, that is a little monotonous to listen to. But if you go on our website, agmanager.info, you will be able to see this information. But we have regions that are up 40, even 45% in their land values over what they were in 2021. The one area that isn't increasing quite as much is irrigated crop ground. For whatever reason, we have those values up 10 to 20%, not as much as the rest of the non-irrigated and pasture ground.
Robin, we hinted at people owning land in Kansas who aren't residing in Kansas. So who's owning our land if they're not in Kansas?
So this is something that really caught my eye a couple years ago. So we were at a land auction ourselves, my husband and I, and we've been noticing this trend, but really saw it materialize at this auction that we have a lot of out-of-state buyers that are becoming interested in our Kansas farm ground, particularly if it has pasture and hunting potential. I've also talked to our Society of Farm Managers and Rural Appraisers across the state, and a number of the farm managers that are professionally managing land for investors, and a lot of them have told me as well that we know that there's people buying land just as a diversification for their portfolio. And so there's a number of things going on, and it's hard to quantify how much that is actually influencing our land prices. We know, you know, out-of-state landowners are bidding aggressively at auctions. They may not always be the one that wins the bid at the end of the day. We do have farmers typically that are still here in Kansas buying the farm ground, but it is adding to running that price up. So what I did is look at how can we study Kansas landowners? Who is owning our Kansas farm ground and how has that changed over the years? So I was able to obtain a fairly unique data set. First in 2015, basically all the parcels that are over 40 acres here in Kansas that are classified as ag use, and what would be the zip code of the landowner of those parcels. So using that information, I was able to say how many acres here in Kansas are owned by Kansas landowners versus outside of the state. And back in 2015, that number living in Kansas was about 84.5%. This was a little higher than I would have expected, actually, but there's a little disclaimer there in that the address I have is where their tax statement goes to. So some of that, if they're professionally managed by a farm manager, they probably are outside the state, but we just don't know because the tax statement would go to the farm manager. So, but nevertheless, that was a good benchmark to start from. I also looked at, does the landowner live in the same county as their parcel? Knowing we have a lot of landowners in Wichita or Kansas City. And that came out on the state level about 55% of landowners still live in the county of the parcel that they own. Now, what was really interesting to me about the 2015 data is, okay, if these landowners live outside of the state of Kansas, where do they live? I would expect Colorado, Missouri, Nebraska, you know, our bordering states, but it was very interesting. So Kansas, again, 84.5%. The next state that owns the most farm ground in Kansas is by far Texas. So Texas landowners own about 2.6% of our farm ground or pasture ground here in Kansas. And then you go to Colorado, Oklahoma, Nebraska, and Missouri. A lot of the other guesses that I tend to get are, you know, California, Florida, Arizona. Some of those start coming in after that, but fairly small compared to those other states.
You mentioned you've done this in 2015 and you did this again just recently and you're seeing things change. Are you expecting to see more land being owned in Kansas from people not residing in Kansas?
So that was my hypothesis. You know, as we're going to these land auctions, as we're seeing a lot of more out-of-state purchases, it seemed anecdotally to be the trend. So I wanted to put some hard numbers to that. So I went back and the same data that I had for 2015, I was able to obtain most of it for 2022, so last year. There were some counties that I didn't have, but overall, 85% of the parcels I was looking at back in 2015, I could see in 2022 now what was the landowner's zip code on those parcels. So it wasn't a complete comparison, but enough that I feel very confident in what I found. Basically, 9.8 million of those acres in that database changed zip codes of the owner within that 7 years. Now, what does a changed zip code mean? You know, what we're looking at is, was the land sold and an out-of-state purchaser bought it? It also could have been an inherited ground that transitioned to the off-farm heirs that may not have been here in Kansas, or the landowner simply moved. So there's a little bit of ambiguity there. But really looking at those parcels that changed, in 2015, 71% of those parcels were owned by people living here in Kansas. In that 7 years, that dropped down to 68%. So not a huge movement, but it definitely shows a small shift of our land being owned outside of the state. What was interesting is when I broke that down by type. So is that non-irrigated, is that irrigated, or is that pasture? And that 3.7% change in how much land is owned outside the state now, only 2.6% actually changed in cropland, where we saw almost 5% shift in our pasture acres and our grass acres. So those combined made up that 3.7%, but it's definitely more the pasture and the grass acres that are shifting outside the state, which would support the hypothesis that we're really seeing more hunting, the access to hunting ground driving that. The other kind of nugget of information I was able to pull out of there was, again, Kansas being the top owner of Kansas ground, Texas being number two. As Kansas is decreasing and more landowners are outside of Kansas, Texas is picking up a lot of that ownership, Colorado being the second one that's picking up more of that ownership. And the rest is a fairly small shift. But yeah, interesting as we start seeing more and more land. And I do think this trend is going to continue. We just know population growth wise in our rural areas, we continue to see declines. And as that ownership of that land goes to the next generation that might not be in that area or might not even be in our state, I'm going to definitely going to keep watching this trend as we see it in the coming years.
Another trend that you've researched and looked into is owning land is important, but so is renting land. And so as a lot of people in agriculture also rent land, are you seeing changes in cash rent prices?
So I wish I had better cash rent information like I do land values. Again, when I'm researching land values across the state, I'm looking at actual sales that occurred in every county in all of 2022. So I have a pretty good radar on what's going on with land values. Cash rents, unfortunately, the only information we have would be the National Agricultural Statistics Service surveys that go out. So those are done probably about this time, and then they publish them in August. So when we looked at the values last year, you know, as we're seeing land go up in value quite aggressively, as I talked about, 25 or 30%, we're not seeing cash rents going up near as aggressively. And there's a couple things going on there. One, we don't renegotiate cash rents every year. A lot of these are 3-year, 5-year leases, something like that, where that cash rent isn't negotiated. And then there's also a lot of other moving pieces with that cash rent. A lot of times it might be a family to family during a transition. It might be a longtime neighbor that there's some other assistance provided for that it's maybe not a going market cash rent. So what we're seeing in cash rent is just, yes, there's an uptick, but it doesn't correlate near as aggressively to land values. And what that does, and the trend that we've been watching really over the last 20 years, is that what we call the rent to value ratio, how much the land is worth versus how much you can cash rent it for, that has really gone down in the last 20 years. Here back in 2000, if you had crop ground, you could rent it for about 5.6% of what its value was worth. Pasture's always been a little lower, about 3.4% of what its value was would be a kind of comparable cash rent value. Fast forward, actually now 22 years later, 2022, if you have non-irrigated crop ground, the cash rental value on average is about 2.2% of its value, and pasture is about 1.1% of its value that you could expect in a cash rental rate.
Those are definitely some changes in comparison of rent and land value and all the different trends you're seeing, Robin, and the work you've done. A lot of information, a lot of numbers, but why is this important to the people in agriculture?
So that's also a great thing to talk about. Obviously, I alluded to young farmers. As we're trying to get into the industry, it is very aggressive out there to try to, you know, even purchase a parcel or get a cash rent on some crop ground or some pasture and really be able to maintain a profitable operation. As I said, some of this is good because it supports farmers' balance sheets. You know, we want land to increase in value. I don't think we want it to increase near as fast as we're seeing right now, just because it does put a lot of pressure on profitability in the ag sector if we do have to pay these land values and do have to pay these cash rents. But end of the day, that is making our farms more valuable for the farmer's balance sheet. As I said in the beginning, I like to track this information just because it seems like there's a lot of hearsay going on. You know, our coffee shops, we talk about these record sales that occurred. But what doesn't get talked about too is just kind of the normal sales. And even though we're showing a very aggressive increase in land values, there's still a lot of what I call normal sales going on out there that aren't setting records. And so I want to just make sure we get information out there that shows the distribution of sales. What I will have out here in another week or two is what we call our Kansas Land Values and Trends book. And in that book, I compile all the sales that occurred in 2022. And if in each county I have more than four sales that are primarily crop ground or pasture, I will report that in the book, average for the county, along with a minimum and a maximum value. So you can really see the range of sales that occurred in that county last year. And I know this is really great information just to see kind of what comparable values are within a county if you're looking at a parcel to buy or looking at a parcel to sell.
Robin, is there anything else you'd like to share with people?
Yeah, in closing, I think I would just like to, you know, tell people kind of keep your eye on what's going on out there. As I'm talking to appraisers again right now, as we're, you know, really into quarter one, past quarter one of 2023, what I'm hearing is that land values are starting to cool off some. Now, I don't want to scare people in saying we are going down in value. I do not at all anticipate that we are going to go down in land values. We do think and we do see net farm income and profitability getting tighter for farmers and ranchers in this coming year. 2021 was phenomenal. 2022 wasn't bad, but we had a lot of areas in severe drought. You know, we had some yield problems. We have commodity prices coming down a little bit. And as we're forecasting what we're going to see in the coming year, we are a little concerned about profitability being less than it has been, especially if we have these continued drought issues. So I would just encourage people, you know, kind of be watching the market. Like I said, I'd see it not climbing near as aggressively this year, but I anticipate it still being strong. Interest rates are obviously going to be influencing. I think right now there's still a lot of cash out there from the good years of net farm income in 2020, 21, 22. So we are going to still see some aggressive bidding on land sales, but I really do think these climbing interest rates are going to start helping cool off the market a little bit. Inflation continues to go up, which is going to add pressure to our land values going up as well. And then really the wild card out there that we spent a lot of time today on is that non-ag investment. Kind of two things going on there. As the stock market has been highly volatile, we've actually seen people more interested in land just because it's had a fairly steady growth rate over time, beat out inflation, and, you know, is a good hedge against inflation, diversifying the portfolio. So I think we will continue to see that outside influence on our Kansas land values. And again, a lot of that pressure that I quantified is also interest in hunting in our state. So overall, I guess just keep watching the land market. I do anticipate it continuing to go up, but not near as aggressively as we've seen the last couple years.
Robin, thank you so much for taking the time today and come and share about some of the work you've completed.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. Thanks for having me, Shelby.
That was K-State Extension farm economist Robin Reed talking about land ownership, land values, and the trends she is seeing. If you'd like more information on this, you can go to agmanager.info. And if you have any questions, you are welcome to contact Robin Reed at robinreed@ksu.edu. That is robinreed@ksu.edu. If you enjoyed the podcast, please give it a like. I'm Shelby Varner, and this has been Inside Ag from Kansas Farm Bureau, the voice of agriculture.